Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Christopher Burnham, Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer of the U.S. Department of State. And joining us in our conversation is Kim Hinsman.
The Bureau of Resource Management has five major priorities: improving financial performance, streamlining budget preparation, integrating budget and performance, enhancing customer service, and promoting greater state-USAID cooperation. Let's begin with the first priority. Can you describe what it means to improve the department's financial performance?
Well, obviously, that has a lot to do with the president's management agenda item known as improved financial performance. You know, is part of the president's leadership in making sure that we have careful stewardship of public funds. You can't have careful stewardship of any funds, public or private, if you are not reporting on them until months after the close of your fiscal year, that you are doing it all on an antiquated financial system, that you're not aggregating on a daily basis, certainly weekly, but I would expect daily basis in a modern internet-based age such as the one we live in, and that you don't have the proper internal controls overseeing the funds to which you've been entrusted. So, you know, a little history, you know, and it's urban legend far before I ever came to government. But, you know, it wasn't too long ago, perhaps a decade and a half, that the State Department had no general ledger, and they kept their books on, you know, with paper and pencil. A little bit of the green old nightshade, I guess. It is true that when I arrived at the Treasury of Connecticut in 1995, I was shocked to see that we were running the financial system of the state of Connecticut on a Wang computer system. Wang, of course, had gone out of business a number of years earlier. And, you know, to have one of these great big boxes sitting there was sort of shocking to me. Little did I think that I would ever see a Wang again. Well, guess what? When I got here in 2001, there was a Wang. There was a Wang in the basement of the State Department, a Wang in our facility down in Charleston, South Carolina. And I am absolutely thrilled to say we have now gotten rid of that Wang. We are building one global financial platform, getting the data that is no longer batched on a weekly or monthly basis, but on a minute-to-minute basis all over the internet through a new process we call Direct Connect. We're completely upgrading our financial systems. As we do that, we're also instituting the kinds of oversight and internal controls, assurance statements that we need to do. The one thing we have not done is create an internal audit capability, and that will be a goal without a doubt for the second half of the administration. And that's obviously an essential ingredient. Now, you know, in the private sector, you have an audit committee, and you have of a board of directors, and the audit committee will use the talents of the internal audit capability as well as the external auditors. We don't have that. We do have an inspector general, and the inspector general hires the independent outside audit. But the next phase of sort of making sure we have the proper controls over these things is no doubt to bring in an internal audit capability.
Over the last several years, the department has seen an increase in staffing and funding. Can you tell us what are the factors that have led to this upward trend, and what impact has this had on the department's mission?
Well, when the secretary got to the State Department, he found an organization that had suffered through pretty significant cuts in the 1990s. We had two things from a human resources standpoint. One, we had the bulge that was going through of baby boomers who were reaching their 20, 22, 25-year point and pulling the trigger and getting out. And we had great gaps in there where we hadn't recruited to smooth over that generational transition that began a number of years ago and will continue for another decade. We also, you know, had an increase in our mission, but without any additional increase in personnel. So the secretary launched the Diplomatic Readiness Initiative, which was a three-year program to bring in approximately 1,100 new people. And in reality, because of the increased security requirements and the increased focus on our consular operations, the operations that issue visas abroad, we've brought in over 2,000 positions. In fact, it's 2,068 positions since fiscal year 02. It's a credit to the leadership of the secretary, the support of the president, and the fact that Congress, in fact, to our listening audience, I know we're in the, you know, general congressional area of Frank Wolf of Virginia. And, you know, Frank has been a tremendous supporter of the State Department in getting us these resources that we need. Now, understand that Some of the new mandates upon us in the last 3 years have included Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, let alone what we would simply term proper human resources management, which means that if you take someone back from post, from an embassy, and train them, you need to have a certain amount of training float, or at least someone who could parachute in there and fill that gap while that person is back for training. Military does this far better than we had done it. But we have a general for a secretary, and the general absolutely wanted to bring in and make sure that we had mid-career development and leadership development programs. And so we needed to also not only fill the gaps for the new mandates placed upon the department, but we wanted to make sure that our people could take time off and be trained. And that was also a key ingredient in that human resources initiative of the secretaries.
Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about the budget process. Could you talk to us about the way the State Department has sought to streamline the budget process?
Well, it goes back to improved financial performance, and it's also tied to the other presidential management initiative, which is budget and performance integration. And it is perhaps one of the primary cultural clashes that I've faced in coming to the State Department, which is to put the department worldwide on a proper business plan footing. When we enhanced the existing structure, what we call the Mission Performance Plan, the MPP program, leading up to Bureau Business Plans, the BPP, Bureau Performance Plan Program, you know, and I call them business plans, there was a lot of, I think a little bit of resentment that all of a sudden you get a guy coming in here from Wall Street who says we got to all write business plans now. And let's face it, we have some of the smartest people in the United States are at the State Department. They have tremendous experience. Many of them have advanced degrees. Frequently, they speak numerous languages. And these aren't the easier languages, the romance languages. It's a lot tougher when you're trying to pick up Farsi, Urdu, Chinese, and Japanese. And yet we have this kind of talent pool there. And then all of a sudden, I come in and say, look, now I want you to write a business plan. Well, we're getting there because what we've done here is we've automated the foundation, the first phase of that business planning process. All embassies around the world, 182 of them now submit business plans to us every February. And the vision for this was not go out and write a business plan and send it to us, which is how it was in the past. I had the vision of the TurboTax model. And I think that TurboTax, one of the greatest inventions in software known to man, where I claim a 10-year-old could fill out their taxes on TurboTax and submit them electronically to the IRS, I wanted to make sure that we built a simple business plan process for someone who had never done a business plan before, who had never taken a business course before, never taken a planning course before, could go online, fill out the questions, create a business plan, and submit it. So it's a business, it's an online business plan template that we've created. That's the first phase. Second phase was then also doing that at the bureau level. We have 38 different bureaus and groups within the State Department. Also then, particularly the regional bureaus, the Western Hemisphere, Asia, European bureaus, et cetera, Africa, had to all then aggregate the business plans for the embassies in their region and then bring those together and submit those, again, electronically on the web to us at the Resource Management Bureau. And that then culminates with the Deputy Secretary, Rich Armitage's senior reviews, where he will spend anywhere from 1 to 2 hours with each bureau, where they have to come in, the assistant secretary has to come in, or the undersecretary who oversees that general responsibility will also come in, present, and talk about exactly A, what their plan is, B, what their goals are, C, what their performance has been in the past, D, what they think their performance is going to be going forward, and then E, and most importantly, what kind of resources, what kind of money, funding do they need to get the job done.
As the CFO, how do you facilitate the process of integrating the planning and the budgeting process?
I'm fortunate that I have an incredibly skilled Deputy Assistant Secretary, Sid Kaplan, who has been running the new Office of Strategic Performance Planning, a brand new office. When I got to the State Department, we had two people really working on the MPP, BPP process, the planning, the strategic plan process, the performance and accountability report process from a strategic viewpoint. And now we have about 22 to 24 people working full time to make sure that we are integrating planning and budgeting. my financial accounting, back office, global financial services world works extremely well, doing great things, as I mentioned earlier, in rolling out one global financial platform. And then, of course, our factory floors continue to churn out great diplomatic efforts, great widgets of diplomacy out there. But no one was tying them together. My Office of Strategic Performance Planning is the one which is tasked with that. And, you know, I'm thrilled that OMB has recognized this and not only initially a year ago gave us green for progress on the president's management agenda, but just recently gave us green for status as well. So we're now double green on the PMA for budget and performance integration, one of very few departments that has achieved that ranking.
That's interesting. Congratulations. Many CFOs belong to the Chief Financial Officer Council. What's this group and what does it do? We'll ask Chris Burnham of the State Department to tell us about it when the Business of Government Hour returns.